Welcome back to the Daily Decrypt. Last weekend, the two hosts of this podcast got to spend some time at HackSpaceCon at Kennedy Space Center in Florida. And in this episode, we're just going to be discussing some of the takeaways we got during this conference. Dogespan and I recorded this from the kitchen of our Airbnb on the beach in Florida. And I mention that just so you're warned that the audio might not be the same as it is when we record in the studio. Sometimes the mic is a little too far from my mouth, sometimes it's too close to my mouth, and sometimes you'll hear the echo off the tile walls in the kitchen.
And before we get in, I just wanted to read through the notes that I took for this episode with my key takeaways in a very cohesive way so that you can at least get that before we start rambling about it all. So just a high level, satellites are just IoT in space, just computers floating around in space that are really hard to talk to. Satellites operate in only a couple different elevations, like low Earth orbit, and space junk is a real thing. So if a satellite gets damaged, space junk can damage other satellites. Space junk is also a huge deterrent for cyber attack and physical attack because countries don't want blowing up satellites to destroy their own satellites. Another point is that the supply chain for satellites is very small. There's only a few companies that make the components that go into satellites, thus creating a pretty narrow attack vector. Satellites are built to accomplish their mission and contain no additional resources. Thus, if a satellite is compromised by an attacker, which you'll find out is pretty easy to do, attackers can make that satellite's failure look like anything from radiation to a bit flip to collision to a failure. They can make it look like anything they want. And finally, one of the biggest problems is there's no current incentive for reporting cyber incidents on satellites because there's nothing really that can be done about them and they'll eventually deorbit. All right, let's get into the episode.
Satellites are computers in space. Never thought about it that way, to be completely honest. There's definitely more complication to hacking a satellite than hacking a TV, but it's an IoT device. Because of the limitations of space, they are stripping everything down on that operating system. And especially nowadays, and this was another thing that it didn't know, but there were specific operating systems that were essentially designed for satellites in space and all of the things that go into it. But now with modern advancements in technology, these satellites are able to run just little microcontrollers like your little hobby Raspberry Pi and Arduino boards. And you can put a regular operating system on there, but they're completely stripped down for whatever purpose that they need. So everything that would be secure just by default on a Linux operating system is usually stripped out. Power and weight. Those are really like the main things that they were driving in constantly throughout every talk was how power and weight is going to be affected by implementing a satellite. Everything has a purpose. So what are you going to sacrifice? Mm-hmm. Are you going to sacrifice satellite antenna functionality for security? No, you're going to sacrifice the security so that your satellite can do what it needs to do.
Do what it needs to do. And weight is a big thing because it has to get out into space. And one of the other perspectives we just heard for the first time was space ride shares. That term is a legit term, ride sharing to space, where companies need to put satellites into space. Thus, they contract out to SpaceX, and SpaceX has a little menu page with prices per kilogram. I might be misquoting, but just to give the listeners a relative gist of what they're costing, it's $300,000 per kilogram. And so if your computer weighs one extra kilogram because it has to carry up some hardening features for the operating system or to prevent intercepting of whatever, that's going to cost an extra $300,000.
You need to get a satellite up for communication, for GPS or anything else, and it's going to cost you more money to send something up that's a little bit more secure. Which I guess is the inherent theme on cybersecurity in general is that security does come with a cost. Mm-hmm. And luckily, we're getting to a better place in business operations where we're understanding what that cost is and more willing to pay it. But right. When it comes to space, that's still, it's not a priority yet.
And all the points that we heard during this conference make sense, right? Satellites, by quote law, have to deorbit within a certain amount of time, because otherwise they turn into space junk, they get outdated, they create a whole bunch of other risks. So I believe any law-abiding country keeps their satellites to under 10 years life cycle. So between 5 and 10 years seems to be the average life cycle of a satellite. So you're spending millions to put a satellite into orbit for about 5 years, if you're lucky. So why would you spend an extra million to secure this thing that could potentially just burn up?
I think it boils down to the use case and capabilities of the satellite. Like, they all are sent up with a purpose, but as you know, as just any tech enthusiast, you typically look at a device that is a computer and you always think about what else it can do. So from an attacker's perspective, you may get access to a satellite that is only supposed to take pictures of a certain area or something, but maybe there's other functionality that you can take advantage of to use for whatever you want.
And there was a quote that I really liked, and I don't specifically remember who said it, but I believe it was in a talk called "Dude, I Broke the Satellite" by Seely Johnson and Aaron York, where they said, effective software gets the job done. Secure software only gets the job done. It doesn't do any other functionality than what is needed for the job. So if you think about effective software, it's going to get that thing done. It's going to take the pictures from the space of whatever it's supposed to take pictures of really, really well. But what else can it do? What else can that satellite out there do that is shooting XM radio to you while you cruise through the countrysides? Maybe it can intercept communications over China or Russia. Like, maybe it can do a whole bunch of other stuff that would be very beneficial for an adversary and also communicate XM. So that's where one of the attack vectors is that is pretty prevalent on the surface of the planet as well, but very prevalent up there.
So one of the interesting points that was brought up in extraterrestrial security by Jacob Oakley is how attackers can use the satellites as a relay. That I found really, really interesting, where an attacker would go and take control of the satellite controller on the ground. So they don't even have to go up to space, build any sort of radio communications to get out of Earth. They go and attack that user, and then from there they're able to redirect communications up to the satellite and then bounce to another satellite. And if that satellite that they bounce to is controlled somewhere else, well, now they're able to relay that back to the ground to a whole new destination.
So that brings up another point that I found pretty interesting, which is that yes, these satellites move in what's called constellations. There's a bunch of them, they're all owned by the same company, and they communicate back and forth to each other to help maybe increase their processing power or accomplish their mission more effectively. But satellites cost a lot of money to get up there. And in order to recoup that money, they have to use every single minute of their time in space, because as I mentioned earlier, it is limited to make money. First of all, they don't have the resources on board to accommodate security, but they also don't have the time to push a patch, because when a satellite is in a position to receive and send communications, that's only maximum 40 to 50% of the time it's in space. The owners of that satellite want to maximize the amount of bang they get for their buck, right? So cybersecurity me comes in and says, hey, we need to push a patch. A new vulnerability has been exploited amongst satellites similar to yours, and we need to push a patch. And it's going to take down your mission capabilities for 3 orbits. And they say, no. They won't do it. Because then you're taking away from the mission. No.
It may take a while to get that patch up there. And I don't remember the exact figure, but I want to say they were talking about somewhere around the range of like 30 kilobytes per second.
Sounds right to me.
Yeah. It was somewhere between 30 and 50. Like, we're talking old school dial-up speed. And you think about what a patch would be to a microcontroller. It's still going to be small, but the amount of data that we work with on a regular basis is just so much larger. And these microcontrollers can still support a lot. Like, you can have an entire terabyte in the size of a tiny microchip. And yeah, what if this patch was a couple hundred megabytes and your satellite's only in view to receive communication for a short period of time? So yeah, it is going to be priority of the mission over the patch.
When a satellite fails, a company has gone and spent a lot of money on this satellite, and everyone from the stakeholders of the satellite mission to NASA scientists want to know what happened, what caused that satellite to fail, so that they can improve future satellites, right, and reduce failures in the future. So when a satellite fails, they bring in top professionals, top physicists, professors at Harvard, professor at MIT, NASA scientists who work on Apollo 14, whoever, to tear apart the data that they got, the last transmissions, and figure out why it failed and figure out how to prevent it in the future, right? But one of the points that was made is that they never bring in a cybersecurity professional, because what's interesting about how satellites operate is if you get root on a satellite, if you get full permissions over a satellite, you can control everything from the log outputs to the movements of the satellite to everything. So an attacker can make that failure look like it was caused by radiation or caused by a component failure or whatever they choose. And so, honestly, having a cybersecurity professional checking the transmission logs up leading up to it, maybe the month before or something like that, could help identify an attack and could help encourage the use of cybersecurity professionals on future satellite missions.
Yeah, the aerospace engineers, the geniuses that they are, they know and understand the way that these things are supposed to operate. All of the physics and everything that goes with orbits and gravity, like all of that stuff. A crazy amount of stuff that they have to know and understand. And they're able to get to the root cause of this, but they are not trained to look at it forensically. They are not inherently going to think that of the possibility of an attack. And that's where I think it wouldn't be beneficial to have the cybersecurity professional, because they're going to look at some of the things that aren't typical. And that is one of the things that was brought up, is that engineers across the board, and I'm even calling out cybersecurity engineers, but software developers, mm-hmm. aerospace engineers, like, we are all inherently lazy. And if we see that something works, we will continue to follow that trend and utilize things. And if it did work previously, we'll keep going down that hole. But it always helps to have outsiders looking in and inspecting things.
What's interesting about this conference and the speakers that were here is that most people, if not all people, were former cybersecurity engineers, attackers, pen testers, blue teamers, who discovered that this is an untapped field and moved into it. So one of the last talks we went to today was just called Extraterrestrial Cybersecurity by Jacob Oakley. And he is a doctor, PhD in cybersecurity, teaches at Embry-Riddle University, and was a former pen tester, was a former red teamer who got into space. And he was telling us about how his first briefing with the engineers and the software engineers who were working on these satellites, he mentioned what happens if there's an attack. And this was in 2020, very recently. They, with full confidence, mentioned that, hey, it doesn't matter, they have backups. It doesn't matter, they have scripts that run to reboot the machine and start the mission over. They have all of these things, all of these fail-safes, so it doesn't matter if they get attacked, they have these fail-safes. He might not have had the greatest retort in his first little briefing, but those are all absolutely destroyable by an attacker. If someone has root, they can make that script do something very malicious on a recurring basis. They can erase the backups. And these engineers had thought about the possibility of attack and placed these measures to help recover from that attack. It's not a forethought. It's just they weren't thinking with a cybersecurity mindset.
What would ransomware look like on a satellite nowadays? Do we just wipe it?
Dude. I mean, I had never thought about ransomware on a satellite, but oh man, I hope no ransomware people listen to this, because it's such an easy target for ransomware. Now that I'm thinking about it.
taking complete control of the satellite. So depending on what it was used, you know, think of, I know one of the satellites that was referenced a lot today was James Webb. And that is probably one of the most valuable assets that we have up there.
Oh, yeah.
And if that was hijacked and ransomed, it's not like one of these other satellites that we're talking about that, you know, only have a 3 to 5 year lifespan. And that's kind of hoping for the best. Like James Webb, I think, is something that they're hoping to get a lot of use out of.
Yeah.
And locking that down, like, how do you recover from it? And yeah, what do you do? I know one of the things that was mentioned, I forget if it was like on a positive note or something, but it, you know, shooting down satellites.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we get into shooting down satellites, that's a whole nother topic. I just am so stuck on how perfect of a target satellites are for ransomware. It's just hitting me now. I'm so sad that I didn't have a chance to talk to people about it because these companies, first of all, spend millions of dollars to get this thing to space. They only have a limited amount of time to use it. They care a lot about it, and they have a lot of money to make sure it continues to work. And they don't secure it. So it's very easy to hijack, and the people who own it have a lot of money. That's like just like the two components of ransomware success. And now I'm scared. So we can move on now.
This is all kind of centered around the satellites and objects that are orbiting Earth, but we are doing a lot more advanced stuff with space technology. You know, we've had satellites that kind of deployed to asteroids to collect samples. I think one of the other tests that we've had was shooting a rocket at an asteroid to see if it could be redirected. So what does the cybersecurity look like on something like that? Because it does just requires long-range communication. So you have two points of vulnerability or two vectors of attack. You can either go directly towards the satellite or rocket or whatever it is, or you can go at the ground station and take control of it there. So we have ransomware, but also what if something is providing an important service and it's hijacked in transit and redirected somewhere else? You know, we have the ISS up there and we're shooting rockets into space. Sorry if I'm going down a doomsday rabbit hole there.
The whole satellite cyber situation is kind of doomsday-y, and it's a ticking time bomb from what we gathered. It's an unexplored cybersecurity vector, which makes it fun for cybersecurity professionals. If you think about 20 to 30 years ago, what cybersecurity looked like, it was pretty much what we have in the sky at this moment. We have Linux boxes, we have all these unpatched vulnerabilities, and it's great to pen test them, and it's great to defend them because you get a lot of easy wins. So in that realm, it's great for us, but technology on Earth has far surpassed the technology in the sky, and all satellites are, as we mentioned at the beginning, is IoT in the sky. So Dogespan had mentioned at the beginning that there's a little bit more to it than that. Pretty much, as far as I'm concerned, the little bit more to it than that is the fact that you can only communicate with them on a very low bandwidth and on a inconsistent, well, I guess it is a pretty consistent schedule, but not all the time. If these satellites were sitting in your living room, you would be in, you would have root in, a minute, 2 minutes for most of them.
Yeah, they wouldn't take much to get into.
Right. Whoever can solve the problem of communicating with them better wins all the satellites.
Communication and then also the resource constraints, I think, can help. But it is an interesting area of cybersecurity. And I think it's going to open up a lot of opportunities, especially with more private companies getting involved in it. We have a number of companies that are, well, like we mentioned this rideshare, but they're also putting their own service or satellites and things into space. So that's going to help, I think, ultimately, instead of it just being only the government that's getting involved in space, more people getting out there is, it's going to open the door for more opportunity for cybersecurity professionals to pivot and more people just being aware of how it operates and how it works.
And just like anything in tech, the more you do something, the lower it starts to cost. The more success you have, you're driving that cost down. And if you can drive that cost down, maybe you can get the bottom line to include some budget for cybersecurity. But it's sort of a
teeter-tottering effect, because the more satellites we put into space, the more junk there is, the more vulnerabilities there are. But at the same time, the more we do, the more successes we have, the more likely it is it's going to become a blooming field of cybersecurity. So we're coming up on the end of our time here, but just wanted to quickly touch on, why does it matter if satellites are hacked? And that is something that is only recently being discussed, at least leaning towards defend them. Like, it's probably been discussed amongst engineers and software developers who work on satellites, but they came up with, it doesn't matter. So why does it matter?
One of the things that was mentioned, I wish I could quote the talk, it's probably Jacob Oakley, if I'm being honest.
Yep.
Is that some of these satellites can be controlled by multiple ground stations. So if you were to gain control of a satellite and relay to another one, you could have access to a whole nother ground control system, and that might be another nation state or another company or something. And now you kind of have a foothold in their environment. You might have to be really, really careful because you only have short periods of time to deliver these payloads and bounce communication, and you have to stay rather stealthy. But it's kind of a big thing because, yeah, you can create this backdoor into a completely different environment that may be secured rather well, and you could cause a lot more harm.
Completely across the world, too. Something you could not normally access.
Yeah.
Because satellites can see a lot of the planet, and I mean, they can see all of it at the end of their orbit, but hey, this is why you bring a friend to a cybersecurity conference, because I completely missed that. And I'm sure there's things that Doge completely missed as well.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, they work so hard to secure the ground stations that communicate with the satellites, and work zero hard to secure the satellites. And it's two-way communication. So compromise a satellite, compromise the ground station.
Yeah. You can easily transmit a payload like that. You can weaponize images, you can weaponize video, all mm-hmm. of that stuff. So it's, the opportunities are there.
There are lots of opportunities to hack satellites. Before I say anything else, don't do it. There's a lot of eyes watching those who hack satellites because it is a critical infrastructure. It was beat into us, don't denial of service a satellite. You'll go to jail, like literally go to jail.
They can track the radio signals better than IPs is what mm-hmm. I got. So don't hack a satellite from your backyard and do anything.
Yes.
You are allowed to listen. You are allowed to listen.
That was a fun revelation. You can listen to anything coming down from a satellite.
Don't send it back.
Don't send stuff back. Don't try to send commands. There are some pretty cool labs that you can do if you want to mess with satellites, using virtualization, which we all love. So we'll shout out Tim Fowler for those. He gave two talks, one on Friday, one on Saturday, about building a CubeSat lab. And if you would like to mess around with a virtualized satellite, you can go to byos.ethoslabs.space. And BYOS stands for Bring Your Own Satellite. Thanks for that great talk. And I'm excited to go play around with it in my own home lab. But if you have that itch to DDoS a frickin' satellite, do it in your home lab. Don't do it in real life. You will go to jail. Straight to jail.
Straight to jail.
So we've covered the opportunities that there are to hack satellites, and there are plenty more that we haven't discussed. Satellites are extremely hackable and barely secured. What's keeping people from hacking these satellites?
Our entire knowledge base is based off of 5 to 6 hours yep. worth of lectures at this point.
100%. From what I gathered, there are no real deterrents other than hypothetical legal actions for hacking a satellite. Nation states don't care about the United States regulations, so why aren't they hacking satellites left and right? Well, first of all, everyone relies on the infrastructure that satellites provide. GPS, time, maps, weather, all of these things are relied upon across the world. So that's step one. Step two is, if someone starts doing it to us, we're going to start doing it to them, which is what keeps us out of nuclear war. So why not keep us out of space cyber war? And if we started shooting satellites down, which is a real thing and has happened and is bad because all satellites operate in one of three orbits, like low Earth orbit, high Earth orbit, deep space orbit, but they're all pretty much in the same place because that's how orbit works. You have to kind of stay the same elevation to use the Earth's gravitational pull to whiplash you around. And if you blow up one, all it takes is a particle of sand to damage a satellite. And if you blow up a satellite, I believe one of the case studies from India was like 68,000 pieces of shrapnel traveling at 22,000 miles per hour in the orbital field of all other satellites, including the satellites of the company that blew up the one satellite. So if Russia started going crazy and blowing up United States satellites, it would, the shrapnel from those satellites would likely take out Russia's satellites. So it's not a perfect system, but it is a pretty good deterrent. There's currently no solution, or at least viable solution, for space junk, which is a technical term. But as soon as anyone figures it out, they win space because they can start blowing up satellites and collecting the space junk. And they own space, right? So currently, the lack of ability to clean up space junk is what's keeping people from blowing up satellites.
It's like a mutual respect. Everybody's just kind of in agreement that we rely on the technology that's up there. We understand the repercussions of destroying the rest of them. So it is, yeah, if we can figure out how to clean it up, then I think you're right. It wouldn't really prevent much besides some of that critical infrastructure, but there's always ways around that.
If we can own space, we can drop $1 billion into creating our own critical infrastructure and rule the world. We can mm-hmm. destroy the current one that's up there. If it meant owning space, I don't think there would be an expense spared. What's interesting is all the solutions that I can come up with, which are not many, involve Earth's atmosphere. And we think of things like air and gravity and all these things as constants that don't exist out in space. Like, why don't we have weaponized satellites that just kind of push satellites out of orbit towards Earth that burn up? There's no space junk from satellites that burn up in the atmosphere. Why don't we do that? Because there's no way to send like a pulse. There's no way to send a burst of air to push this satellite. It's very hard to even propel yourself through space because the most common ways of propulsion include oxygen, fans, combustion. There's a lot of things that stand in the way that I don't know.
I'm just picturing a giant like snowplow blade up there being pushed by some form of propulsion,
right,
for redirecting all of the satellite debris into orbit,
right,
much like the snow gets redirected to the end of your driveway and then you're stuck with a giant pile at the end of your driveway that you can't get out.
We are stuck with the pile and we can't get out, but we have no plow.
Huge shout out to the coordinators of Hackspace Con and everybody that came out, all the supporters, attendees, the brave souls that got up in front and talked about what they know. It helps out the industry. And especially with space, they had mentioned that Hackspace happened last year and there was one or two talks.
What?
It was a very small number.
Wow.
And this year it was all day long. And so that means that there's more people involved with it or heading that direction and willing to learn more about it. And gonna be honest, I'm one of those. I was very interested to learn more about what can be done and what opportunities are there. So really huge shout out to everybody involved with the conference this weekend.
Thanks for sharing your knowledge. Thanks for pivoting over to this field and trying to keep our critical infrastructure at least a little bit safe. If you did happen to pick up one of the stickers that I littered the conference with, thank you for picking that up, and we'd love to hear from you. Reach out. We'd love to have you on the podcast. Y'all are very smart, and any words you'd be willing to share with us would be greatly appreciated. And if you're just a cybersecurity professional out there with no knowledge of space or the attack vectors that are involved in hacking satellites, highly encourage you to check out next year's conference. It's going to be good.